He's the Weird Teacher by Doug Robertson, read by the Weird Teacher, Doug Robertson. Chapter 12, Bodily Functions. The cliche is that children are walking germ factories. The truth is so much more icky. Children are not walking germ factories because of any personal failing on their part. Children are walking germ factories because children get into everything. Touch, touch, touch. Fall and touch. Lick and touch. Sneeze and touch. Pick and touch. Touch, touch, touch. The smaller they are, the grosser they can be. Small children are constantly leaking. Bodily fluids ooze out of orifices at a rate that would incapacitate a grown man. I've known tiny humans whose noses ran for years at a time. Every inhalation doubled as a sniffle. When I was small, I had allergies, and the collar of my shirt became a convenient wipe. I've since learned that I was not the first to figure this out, nor will I be the last. If your shirt isn't supposed to be a tissue, it should not be so soft and right up there by your nose. We should make shirt collars out of some type of sandpaper. You'd be able to tell the kindergartners with tape by killing the ones with a nub instead of a nose. I keep boxes of tissue all over my classroom. Four at least. One by my desk in front of the room, since I never really grew out of sneezing because of dust or dander or sunlight. One on every wall. Students are never more than a few feet from a box of tissues. This does not stop the child sitting on the far right from getting a wipe from the box on the far left via the most circuitous route possible, but at least the option is there. The standing rule in my classroom is you cannot get out of your seat for any reason while I'm teaching. I said that to my students at the beginning of the school year. It's part of the first day spiel. Thou shalt stay in thy seat. I immediately follow this up with caveats. The first is, unless you have sneezed all over yourself. Children do this all the time, because children sneeze disproportionately to their size. The smallest child in class will knock over a stack of books with a sneeze. She will rattle windows and wake babies in nearby houses. It is never, ever, a dry sneeze, either. How I yearn for dry sneezes. During cold season, I sometimes wish the parents of my students would point their blow dryer right up their son's nasal cavity before getting into the car in the morning. Dry that bad boy right out. A bloody nose is 100 times less disgusting than snot. Snot has weight and mass. Snot is the stickiest substance known to man. Ancient man used to use mammoth snot to caulk the roofs of their huts in the rainy season. I've seen kindergartners become conjoined twins because they sneezed on each other at the same time. Thus, the first exception to my rule. You have to tell the children's exception too, especially the good kids. A good kid will explode, cover her face, and stare at you with horror in her eyes. A good strong sneeze acts like a hard reset in your brain, like dropping your cell phone and the battery popping out. The brain needs a moment to reboot. If you haven't already input the code for automatic tissue retrieval and nose blowing, the child will stare at you for minutes, waiting for someone to tell her what to do. Snot is horrifying, even your own. George Carlin once said you would wipe it on a flaming piece of wood if you had to, just to get it off of you. I make sure they know to get up and blow their nose, clean themselves up, wash your hands with soap, Christopher. Sometimes it's a worst case sneeze, and the child also has to wipe his desk, get a new paper, clean his pencil, wash his neighbor's hair, cut it off, that stuff is never coming out, and mop the floor. Science help you if you've got carpet instead of tile in your class. You might as well junk the room and start over. It's only a matter of time before somebody steps in it and they get stuck there forever. Another caveat to the thou shalt stay in thy seat is if you are about to be sick. Any kind of sick, I don't care what is about to come spraying out of you, nor from what end, get out of my room. Go, run, run to the bathroom. Even if you don't make it all the way there, it's still better than doing it in a classroom. Mostly I'm talking about puke, vomit, spew, throw up, sick. Some children throw up more often than frat boys convinced they're living it up. The trick is getting that moment of warning before it happens. They know it is about to happen. The vomit voice speaks to all. But how much time do you have? How far are they from the door? Some students feel far enough in advance. Mr. Robertson, I don't feel good. The child about to lose it has a look, a pale, sickly pallor. An experienced teacher has seen it before. Go, go to the bathroom, go, go, go. This might seem harsh. Maybe you think I should ask very nicely what's wrong and what they had to eat. No, now is not the time for that. Vesuvius is bubbling and you don't know when it is going to blow. Urgency supersedes a fare thee well. Yes, throwing up will probably ruin that child's day. But throwing up in the room will ruin the entire class's day. That is a smell that does not come out. Sympathetic puking becomes a real concern. Not just for those students either. I'm okay around a lot of fluids, but those smells. I struggle to keep it together. I'm not above taking a class outside for the day. You do your best not to embarrass the sick child, of course. I remind you that this happens. Sometimes people get sick, and I praise the ill one for getting out of the classroom in time. Even if they only made it to the grass outside the room, that is better than doing it in class. May you never experience a bus-sick child trapped in a warm, enclosed can. Ooh. There might be much less warning. It can hit a body all at once with barely any notice, not even a how do you do. I once watched a little girl go from normal to pale in 2 seconds. Poor thing had time to look at me with frightened eyes that communicated everything. She started pointing at the door as she started to speak. Mr. Robertson, I... Ugh. All over her desk. So helpless. Nothing I could do. She cried. Of course she cried. It's one of the most embarrassing things that can happen in class. Not the most. We're getting there. But it's in the top two. This is the situation your teacher classes in college do not prepare you for. You are now comforting a sick, mortified kid while getting her out of the room to the nurse while keeping the other 24 from freaking out and or following suit, especially the kid next to the sick one. If you've done the proper groundwork and your classes well behaved, this isn't too bad. They know what's expected of them, even in unusual situations. Get the child to the nurse, keep the class calm, call the office for cleanup, don't touch it yourself, and find a reason to work outside for the next 20 minutes. Don't look at it or smell it. I've never thrown up in front of my class, and I hope I never will, but that would do it. Never, ever, ever touch anything that comes out of a child. Teachers do not get paid enough. Everyone is health aware enough that we should all have gloves in our classroom, so if you absolutely have to make contact, save for a bleeder, you have protection. But puke, nope, not going near it, only my own child's. Most bleeders are things students can handle on their own anyway. A bloody nose should be taken care of calmly, quickly, and smoothly. Fingers pinch the bridge of the nose, tilt your head down or keep it neutral, grab a handful of tissues, go to the bathroom with the nurse until it stops. There isn't anything else you can do about it. A child can do all of that on their own, unless they're tiny. Another reason kindergarten teachers are saints. There's one more thing, but you can read the book for yourself. Thank you.